I'm kind of waiting for the grads to get back in here, so we'll see. We're going to have, there we go. I actually made a PowerPoint to go with the message, taking cues from John. A lot of what's already been said on a number of different levels are in the message today, so I probably won't go into as much detail because a number of things were exactly what I was going to say. So, but as I was praying for what the message should be, this is what came up, and I'm going to be emphasizing some things. How are they doing in there? They're talking? What's that?
They're having a party. Yeah.
Boy, the song that Reggie chose, some of the things that Reggie said, and what I think Whitney had said at one point. All of this, hopefully you heard what they were saying. Isn't it important that when people are talking that you actually listen to them? Right? Because you usually get something if you're actually listening. Not pretending to listen, but to actually be listening. Because we really do learn a lot from one another. Words are important. So, up here on the screen, this can be I think there's nine frames in this little PowerPoint. So I felt that the Lord wanted me to talk about purpose of life and how, you know, you hear this as a young person and you have these adults that are telling you about life and you can really very easily go, yeah, just a bunch of words and yet what Reggie had said, you know, I wish I would have just listened or actually knew what I know now back when I was younger. I wouldn't have had to go through certain things. I think all of us that are older, even at the age that we might, that we are right now, we're still learning and still going, oh, I wish I would have known that. I wish I would have listened to my parents about that. Why didn't I read this and understand what the Bible said about that? Here I could have saved myself a lot of heartache and so on and so forth. Right? So, go ahead and hit that, John. You know, all that's been said really so far is for us to live a purposeful life. I think we just kind of, especially when we're younger, we're just kind of bouncing through life. Life is life, and things happen, and we do things, and we're pushed in our minds and our thoughts to go in a particular direction. We're not thinking if it has any consequences or not to them. You know, unless you grow up in a godly family, you probably don't even know that that there's a supreme God of the universe that created everything and created you. But not only that, but that He's interested in you. You'll notice some scriptures here next. So let's go to the next one. God does have plans for us. Go ahead. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, if you knew that there was a person that could give more to you than what even you could even ask or think, and you had a choice to listen to their counsel or not listen to their counsel, I think most of us would say, you know, this person knows me better than myself even. Maybe I should listen to him. Maybe I should listen. And God has plans for you. Next scripture. You recognize this?
Yeah.
Where are you? Oh, there you are. Okay. Jeremiah 29:11. Now, I want to say, because this happens a lot in this church and many churches, you know, there's confirmation that happens. Nobody knew in here. Whitney didn't know. Heidi didn't know that this was going to be one of the scriptures I was going to use today. It's all about purpose, so obviously you're going to get. You know, there's lots of scriptures that could have been chosen, lots of them. And so I want you to know that this is very important. Glenn,
I just wrote two introductions to Bibles we gave to two of our grandkids.
There it is. Yes.
This week.
Yes. We have that in some cards too. So what this does, I hope, it does it for me, I think it does it for a lot of people, I hope it does it for you as the graduates, but also for everybody else in here, is the fact that when you get confirmation, when there's an added witness to something that's going to be said, you might go, huh, maybe God has something he wants to, that he's actually saying here, because he's doing it through a number of different people. And it's the same thing. You get this? So, this is really a fantastic scripture, don't you think? I know my plans for you, says the Lord. Plans for good, not for disaster, not for harm. To give you a future and a hope. Now, this is God's plans for each one of us. God's plans, right? But you know what? God lets you and I make our own choices. And sometimes a life that ends up in a dead end, in tragedy or turmoil, is not because God has that plan for anyone. You know where that comes from? What Reggie was saying earlier, the consequences of our actions, of our what we've chosen to do in our life. I'm going to come back on some of this as we go through the points. Okay, let me see if there's anything else I want. Okay, let's go to the next frame. What you're going to see here is there's going to be these little pictures that are going to pop up every so often. And there we are. So, Proverbs 3. What this is some things I want you to consider. If you live a purposeful life, and you live a life, if it's geared to God's plans, and this was really said, if every day we really turn our attention to God, then we stand a better chance in our lives, especially in decisions that you're going to be making, what job you should accept when you go out and you make applications, this isn't the right time for me to go to college. I'm gonna take a year or whatever off, and I'm gonna travel and I'm gonna see what's out there. You know, when it's backed up with prayer, you stand a much better chance of moving more in the will of God than if you just kind of, this is what I'm doing. This is what happens to so many of us. This is why we would like to go back and say, I wish I would have known that I should have been a much greater prayer person and holding my life in front of God. Look what this says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. If we acknowledge Him, if we say, God, help me to have the right direction to go in here in this particular part of my life, especially for the graduates starting out, what you're going to be doing, where you're going, and so forth. That God, if you pray and you do that, you have a much better chance of hearing what you need to hear. Along with this, I've included these quotations from some very significant writers. This is from a guy named Abraham Heschel. And he says, we are closer to God when asking questions than when we think we have the answers. You know, where nobody's help. I don't need God to tell me what to do. I'm just going to do what I want to do. You stand a better chance of going off into the ditch if your heart is not to say, hey, God, I know that you have plans for me, and they're plans for good, and they're plans that's going to give me that good, solid future and a hope. I think I'm going to try to listen to you, God. Direct my path. Show me the way to go. Right? And then after your prayer, you search through things. You ask questions. Is this the right thing for me to do? And you know, you're in process with God when you do these kinds of things. Okay, let's go to the next scripture. Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. I want to talk about that. The quotation, know that every deed counts. The little things that you do and think, every word is power. Above all, remember that you must build your life as if it were a work of art. Now, you know, if you go, wow, that's very profound. That's really, you know, like people like to say, that's deep. Deep in the sense that if you think about it, you plunge to the depths of that. You know, your life has dignity and worth. Every single person that breathes has worth, right? And dignity. And it's a work of art. If you're not going to just sloppily paint a picture, you're looking to be very careful with the strokes. You're thinking about things. Oh, I made a mistake. You get out the eraser, and you do the things to correct things that go wrong. You don't say, oh well, that's just the way it is. That's just what's going to happen now. No, you can change things around as you listen to God, as you're convicted by the Holy Spirit. And so this is a really important thing. And I want to say this thing about the power of the tongue. The guy there, he's in hurt. You know, the tongue, what you say to people has an impact on them, you know? And this is why it's important not to just, you know, throw something out in anger. We all have to be careful about that, don't we? People get a different idea of who you are by the things that you say. Isn't that true? I'm going to go over on this side. You know why? Yes. Everybody knows why, right?
Why?
Because I only look at those two sides of a thing because I'm right-handed and I tend to go this way. So I'm going to come over here so I can look at this group too. Because this is for you too. All right? So every deed counts. And this is where this thing about consequences. Don't just think that the things that you do don't have consequences. There is consequence to every thought, everything that goes on. There's consequences if you accept particular thoughts in your mind. Yeah. Graduates, adults, if the enemy is saying, "Oh, that's okay, you go ahead and do that." There's battles up here, isn't there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like what was said before. Life is a trial. There's tests all through life. You don't get out of not having tests after you get out of high school or college. It's a different kind of test, isn't it? And you and I can't squirm around that. And boy, is it important not to let the enemy to drive you away from God, number one. To drive a wedge between you and your brothers and sisters in Christ. To drive a wedge between wife and husband, or child and parent, or worker, other workers that you're working with. It's a hard road, isn't it? It really is. And the enemy will try to get you to become very critical. And you have to be careful about that. I have to be careful about that. Okay. I'm not going to belabor some of these points. You know, I could talk about this the rest of the time. I'm not going to do that. Let's go to the next slide. Look at that. Psalm 100, verse 4 says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise." And then this quote, I think it's also from Heschel, says, "It is gratefulness which makes the soul great." It's gratefulness that makes the soul great. You want to be able to be that kind of person that can live life, live it full, be able to have mercy and grace for other people. You know, one of the things that has to be there in our lives, in your life, in my life, is the fact that I need to be thankful.
Amen.
I need to be grateful. You know, lots of times we can tend to look at the negative side of what's going on in a situation. Right?
Yes.
Just look at the negative. Don't look at the positive, and then the enemy works that and tries to get us to be concentrated on the negative side of things and keep us there instead of being grateful for the good things. You know, in the book of Philippians, it talks about you know, we should keep our minds on things that are pure and right and honest and focus on these things, the scripture tells us. And we so easily, you and me, can so easily get distracted and only start looking at the negative. Why does this always happen to me? Seems like every time that such and such, then this is what goes, you know, it's what's wrong, God? And then the enemy starts to work that side of things to get you to think that God's not concerned about you. God doesn't care about me. Has anybody said that in your mind?
Yeah.
God must not care about me. God must, there's something wrong with me. Or else there's something wrong with God, and I'm just going to walk away from him because he's not doing what I want him to do. And these thoughts are insidious. They work in every one of our lives. And he's out like that, like back in the other scripture. The enemy is there to rob and kill and destroy. And you know where he works? In your head.
Yes.
Now there's a remedy to all of this, which I'll get to at the very end. Okay, everybody? But gratefulness. Thank you, God. You know, it's going to rain either tomorrow or probably the next day after that. kids were always raining.
Yep.
And we just had, you know, 3 days of sun, right? Oh, it's always raining. Never, you know, I wouldn't do it. And we get into the, can I say this word? Molly grubs?
Yep.
You get into the molly grubs. It's disgusting where our minds can take us. Right? So, just for any of us to be thinking about here. All right, let's go to the next one. Go ahead and pop that picture up there. All right, Proverbs 16:32. He who rules his spirit is better than he who conquers a city. Wow, that's pretty neat, huh? Now, you have this picture over there. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Self-respect. If you don't respect yourself, that you are a creation of God, that you are unique, that God has given you particular skills and attributes and compassions that's unique from other people. That's part of what self-respect is. Self-respect is the fruit of discipline. In other words, you're not going to respect yourself if you're not a disciplined kind of person. If you're sloppy and you don't take good care of your body, you're not going to have a lot of respect for yourself. You know this is true, don't you? The sense of dignity grows with the ability to say no to yourself. You can take that wherever direction you want to go in. Can't you? I've noticed something about how my brothers, they hadn't seen me for a couple of years, and I changed a little bit over the time that I had seen them. I changed in terms of my body weight. I grew a beard. And over that time, when all of that was going on, you know, I noticed, I looked back and I thought, you know, I had more self-respect about myself. I was disciplined. It wasn't that I thought great about myself. It was that I felt a sense of accomplishment that I could say no to certain things that I couldn't say no to before. Like spaghetti. And ice cream. I know. I said the same thing. I'll never be able to say you know what? If you're led to do that, you can do that. I'm not telling anybody to do that. But what I'm saying, excuse me?
I have to leave the church.
You have to leave the church. So whatever it is, I'm just using this from a personal experience for me. But I'll tell you that it's true. When you can say no to things, when there is a sin that I'm not saying that the eating is, but if there's a sin in your life, a weakness in your life, and you commit that, and you know it is, and you know it's a weakness, and you say, God, I don't want this in my life. Please help me through the power of your spirit to see this thing gone in my life. I'm telling you, he will give you opportunity to get rid of it. And then you and I have to say no. No to ourselves in particular places. Mm-hmm. And this is important. This is an important thing. All right? Now, that picture. When I first looked at that picture, I thought that the kid that's pointing was the center of the picture. In terms of the focus of who's to be looked at. But I changed my mind as I looked at that. You know who the center of the picture is here? Now, I would have thought it would have been that guy right there that's pointing, that has the bottle of alcohol in his hand, because he's kind of in the center of that picture. But I don't think he's really the person to really be looking at here. You know what this picture is about in terms of what I have up here on the board? I think it's this guy right here.
Yeah.
He's the center point of the picture, because everybody in that picture is looking at who? Him. He's the focal point of that. Not the guy in the center that's commanding the attention, that's pointing his finger and saying, "What's wrong with you?" Right? This guy might lose these people as friends, but he's just growing in his self-respect and his dignity as a person for making a right choice. That's not easy, like has been mentioned before this. It's not an easy thing to make right choices in this world, is it? Okay, I thought that was an interesting picture. All right, next one.
Don't do it.
I'll let you look at that one. Okay. So, the scripture, that you may walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. And down at the bottom it says, our concern is not how to worship in the catacombs, the underground chambers where nobody sees you, or the place where everybody else is that has the same Christian background. No, it's how we remain human, in this case, talking about that divine place that God wants to bring human beings to, but how to remain human in the skyscrapers. In the world. Do you notice that maybe you act or think differently when you're out in a group of worldly people than when you're in this place or maybe in your home? That we feel like we have to acquiesce to the way the world is, and so we're going to act like the world, right? Yeah.
I always act like this.
Yeah, we know that about you. So here's this person, you know, and I had something written down here. I wanted to make sure. From what I think it was from the song, you know, it's okay not to be okay. Is words in that song, right? It's okay not to be okay. You know, you don't have to fit in with the world if it's not the path that God wants you to go on. But we feel so constrained and so, we have to please these other people. And if in so doing, we're not walking on God's path, you're going to say, as all of us have said, gee whiz, I wish I would have known that, or I wish I would have not made that decision all those years ago. You and I can change those kinds of things. So I thought that was good. Okay, let's go to the next one. I'm going to try to finish this up. All right. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatsoever you do, do all for the glory of God. Now, the quotation here, the road to the sacred leads through the secular. Oh, wait a minute, here you go. Being sacred and spiritual has nothing to do with what I'm doing in life. No, everything about life, the who you marry, what you do for an occupation, the different situations you find yourself in, is are all used of God We were born into a physical, material world, into a secular world. And God uses the people that we meet, the jobs that we take, the situations that come in life, the people saying nasty things. And by the way, you don't want to be a snowflake. You know what I mean by that? Thin skin, where you can't take when somebody says something that offends you. Should be able to handle all of that. Right? We should. The road to the sacred leads through the secular. You can't divide it off and say, I'm living in a secular world, but now I'm gonna on Sunday I'm going to be in a sacred world. No, everything about yours and my life should lead to something that is sacred. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
I hope you do. Life is not compartmentalized between secular and sacred. Yeah, there are ungodly things. And it's in this life, and we have to recognize it and say no to that. Right? We get it? I chose the nurse picture because Libby's a nurse, and there's other people here going to nursing, and we have other nurses here, and so I thought I was going to choose that. So, but whatever you do, it says in 1 Corinthians, do all for the glory of God. You know, when you're building this work of art that's going to be your life, we want to do it with whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to do it with all my heart, and I'm going to do it because I'm leaning on God and getting His wisdom and understanding about people, and not leaning on my own understanding about things. I'm going to try to just serve people. I want to build the right kind of life for myself that I can stand in front of God and have Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We might all be saved in here, but maybe there's people in here where God's not going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That could happen. You made it into heaven, but like Rachel used to say, but burns edges,
Smelling like smoke.
Smell like smoke. All right, let's go to the last one. So, the only way that you and I are going to walk on the right path and really be able to listen to the Lord is he's written His thoughts of wisdom, His description of people. He uses the Jews in the Old Testament to show how not to be, but also how to be. And there it is, right there for us. And we can learn from what we read in Old and New Testament. And so the last thing I want to give to the graduates is this, but for all of us to be reminded of: your word is a lamp under my feet and a light under my path. That path of life, that journey. And I thought this was a really neat quotation. To be or not to be is not the question. Do you guys know where that's from? What is that?
Shakespeare.
From Shakespeare, from Hamlet, right? To be or not to be, that is the question. This is when, I think it's when Hamlet's wondering if he should kill himself. Should I just off myself? Should I stay alive to be, or should I get out of this life not to be? That's the question. What am I going to do? He was in a real bad situation, right? And he didn't know what to do about his life. And he contemplated. And so he says, to be or not to be, that is the question. Well, this philosopher said, no, that's not really the question. To be or not to be is not the question. The vital question is how to be and how not to be. How to be and how not to be. Yeah, you know that I marked it off here. In the song, on the second page of the things that you have there, it's okay not to be okay was one of the things that really stood out. And the other one is, it's how we live the journey.
Yes.
Now, don't tell me that God wasn't saying something directly to us today when Reggie picks out a song that has those words in it, and there it is right here. God is speaking again to all of us to remind ourselves it's how we're living our life. And believe me, the way, as complicated as the world is, we need continual reminders of, yeah, I really kind of messed up there. God, you know, God, please forgive me. I don't want to be doing that anymore. Please help me in that regard. Right? It's how we're living. Or when you see something good in life, to realize that that's a blessing from God. Amen? So, that's for you graduates, but it's really for all of us. And I pray that we will be that kind of people. There's so many other things you could have talked about, but that's what the Lord led me to. So, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you always confirm we ask your blessings on the graduates, especially today, that this life that they're now really beginning to live on their own, that they will find you, lean on you throughout all of life, that they wouldn't lean on their own understanding, Lord, but that they would look to you, they would look to your word to help guide them and lead them through this crazy life, so that they and us, Lord, that we would find real life and that more abundant occurring. That we take the right steps at the right time, that we would be disciplined, Lord, in our mind and heart and in our actions, Lord. Lord, that we would be thankful in this life, that we would look to the positive, that we would appreciate one another, we would appreciate our parents, we would appreciate that we live here in the United States and have the freedoms that we do. Lord, thank you for all these things, and we love you, and we ask your blessings now on all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.